And the bank says, well, how badly do I want the gold? How badly do I need the money? And the government says, you need the money because your reserve requirements need to be here and they're there and you don't have enough money in your bank. So the bank says, all right, and they sell their gold. And that's the manipulated market structure. And that's why traders say, well, I guess I'll be short.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. It's Friday. I'm Vince Lancey, and we're going to do the market rundown. We're going to talk about tier one assets as it relates to gold and silver and manipulation, part one. Start with the markets. The dollar is 104.07, up 18. 10-year yields are 4.29. Unchanged bid. The S&P 500 is 57.30, bouncing 26 handles after yesterday's sell-off. The VIX is 22.18, backing off almost a full percentage point after yesterday's rally. Gold, 27.52, up a little under $9. Bounce after yesterday's give back, but it bounced off the lows before the close yesterday. All right, so silver, 32.81, up 15, tepid at best. Copper, 4.33, 4.34, down a little less than a penny. WTI is up 23 at 71.32. Natural gas, 233 unchanged. Bitcoin, 70,063, vibrating at 70,000. Ethereum, 25.17, unchanged basically. Palladium, 11.26, up 7. Platinum, 9.92, down 1. Grains, drum roll please, are... all up. You can see that on your screen there. Spare my eyes and I'll spare yours. Okay. You can see the markets there. We'll talk about the gold and silver and everything else. But first, let's talk about tier one assets and Basel III and have as it relates to manipulation, as it relates to gold, and as it relates to silver. Now, manipulation is a word that in our little community, people debate about, and people that I respect that know what they're talking about say that there is no manipulation. And I'm not here to debate them on that. I'm here to say that we probably define the manipulation different. So there are people who define it one way, which is their way, and there's people who define it another way, which is to say that there's no manipulation because of how they define it. And then there's, I think, people like me who define it the way I do that says there is manipulation because of the way we define it beyond the micro day-to-day manipulation. But it's really a matter of semantics. Okay. So let's talk about tier one assets and how they work and how it works against gold and silver in premium. And I'll give you a little bit of an education of a silver speculator in the premium section today. Okay, so homepage. Goldman central bank demand has reset gold's price levels. That's yesterday's post. Don't be an exit strategy. We repin that because, hey, the election's coming in. Don't be stupid, right? And then Thursday PM has the rest of our posts. Discussion. All right, I don't have any great visual aids today. Not that I ever do, but you get the point. In banking terms, what is a tier one asset? A tier one asset is considered the highest quality and most liquid, meaning it can be readily converted into cash without significant loss in value. According to the Basel III regulatory framework, which outlines asset classifications for banks to ensure stability, the following assets are typically considered tier one. Typically means automatically. This is textbook definition. All right. Cash and cash equivalents. This includes physical cash held by banks, as well as cash reserves held with central banks. Sovereign bonds, those are government-issued bonds from countries considered highly creditworthy. U.S. Treasuries and other similar bonds from AAA-rated governments are included here, or AA-plus, or whatever they are now, right? Or triple C, probably by the time this is over. Central bank reserves. Reserves held by commercial banks at central banks are treated as tier one since they are secure and instantly accessible. And newly done gold, as noted, under Basel III, gold was elevated to a tier one asset. I should say reinstated as a tier one asset meaning it is viewed as a high-quality liquid asset on par with cash and government bonds. Continuing with the definition, these assets are viewed as highly liquid and stable, serving as the cornerstone of financial stability within banks. Tier 1 assets act as a buffer against crises, ensuring banks can meet short-term obligations even during economic downturns. Okay. This definition, I sourced many different definitions to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. This one is actually ChatGPT combined with some things that I wrote. So this is the definition. The thing is, what does that mean? What does it mean to be tier one, practically speaking? And as I, without boring you too much, I'm going to get into this and you're going to see how the labeling of something as tier one versus tier three immediately makes it worth less or more. All right. So to be tier one is the government saying we will fully allow you to use it as 100% cash to conduct your business without converting it to cash. We swear by its value, and this backstops our whole government. So if a bank says, I need money, it's a crisis, the government says, what do you have as collateral? It's a pawn shop, okay? The government says, what do you have as collateral? And the bank says, I have a 10-speed Schwinn bicycle from 1975. And they say, well, you know, we're not going to give you more than 5 cents for that. And then they say, I have gold. And you say, and the government says, sure, we'll take gold. Meaning you give us the gold as collateral. This is why it's all about collateral, right? And we'll give you cash. 100% of face value, whatever the price is, okay? And of course, there's margin liquidity and things like that. But the point is, if you go to the bank, to the government with your bicycle, and they say, we'll give you 10 cents for it, and you say, dude, it's worth $200. And they say, well, we don't care. It's worth 10 cents. To us, that's all we're going to give you because it's not liquid. We can't get at it if we want to, and we're not going to backstop our government with rusty Schwinn 10-speed bicycles. You remember the movie Trading Places where, what's his name, Winthrop goes in and he says, this is a whatever watch, you know, and Bo Diddley says, $50. He goes, this is a $3,000 watch or whatever it is. He says, well, in Philadelphia, it's only worth $50. So Bo Diddley, behind the counter at the pawnbroker shop, he's the government. And he tells you what it's worth, what he'll give you for it. And we're going to get into this in more detail in the premium section when I discuss silver, a real life example of this that just like completely blew me away. All right. So the government says we will backstop our government with this and we want it if there's ever a problem. We'll take it as collateral. It's as good as gold, right? So we'll take government bonds. We'll take our currency and we'll take gold once upon a time. And those are things that we deem worthy of collateral to give you 100% face value for. You know, there's always haircuts in there. And then they said, wait a minute. People are using gold as collateral. That means they're owning gold. And if they're owning gold and we're giving them cash for, we're putting gold on a value, on a par with our own bonds. Let's demote it to tier three. So now the bank says, gold's now tier three. Boom. Now the bank says, I need cash, I need cash. And they go to the pawnbroker, which is the repo, the government repo, and they say, I need cash. I have $1 million in gold. The government says, we'll give you $500,000 for it. Tier three is art. We'll give you 50% of face value on the art. That's the haircut, they would call it. And the bank says, well, 50%, I mean, it's worth $1 million. And the government says, so sell it for $1 million and you have the cash. You don't need us. You've got liquid markets. And the bank says, well, how badly do I want the gold? How badly do I need the money? And the government says, you need the money because your reserve requirements need to be here and they're there and you don't have enough money in your bank. Remember fractional reserve banking? So the bank says, all right, they sell their gold. And that's the manipulated market structure. And that's why traders say, well, I guess I'll be short. Why be long, right? Okay, so that's how they stopped gold from competing with other stuff. All right. So that's why, you know, just to go back a little bit of history here, that's why no one cared what gold was worth in dollars back in the day. Like, you know, back in medieval times, you didn't say, I want to buy a meal. How much does it cost? The guy at the counter said, it's a shilling. It's a silver coin. It's two silver coins. It was always that amount. It's a silver coin, right? A meal was a silver coin. A suit is an ounce of gold, right? So you didn't measure things in dollars. You measured things in a meal is a silver coin. You worked for a silver coin, right? A suit is an ounce of gold. And these things were your standard. So dollars were measured in ounces. How many dollars can I get for an ounce? Who cares? An ounce of gold is what buys the suit. And then they just flip the whole metric. Anyway, I'm getting off of it. So gold goes from tier one to tier three. You can't get face value for it in a pinch. So why own it? Right? Right. Now let's talk about silver as it relates to tier one versus tier three. What makes something ineligible for tier one status? Demand outside of monetary use competes with the government's ability to control it. So what's gold used for? I know it's used for electronics, but just humor me here. Gold's used for nothing. It's useless. And that's why it's money. Because you can only use it as a store value. It holds its value. It exists. It's there all the time. And it's not used. So the government, even though it's a pain in the ass, they try and control it. They buy as much as they can. They'll probably QC a bit down the road. Silver, also a store value, also can't be, like, silver's better than gold in this regard. Silver can't be destroyed. It actually is more useful. And the problem is its usefulness makes it practical, and because it's practical, industry needs it. So if you have a film company, you know, back in the day, or an electronics company today, that says, well, you know, we have a lot of silver. Well, they have a lot of money. You can't have a commodity that can be hoarded as money because it takes control away from the government. The government can't say you can't own silver because you use it in industry. And the government can't make it money because you use it in industry. So, you know, I mean, you could do it, but, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to do. All right. So if silver were made a tier one asset, so here's the payoff. If silver were made a tier one asset, it would appreciate to its value as naturally occurring in nature, relative to gold, whether that's 15 to 1 or 7 to 1, it's debatable, but that's what would happen. If gold is worth X, because it's now a tier one asset, and silver becomes a tier one asset, then you bind it in nature. Why is gold a tier one asset? Because it can't be destroyed. Because it's, you know, it's a store of value. Well, silver's a tier one asset. It's a store of value. So that's what would happen. You would completely destroy. You probably would undermine the whole Western economy if you made silver tier one asset. You know, you can dream. All right. So I'm looking at my notes here on the left. So all right, tier one asset. Okay. So we're gonna go. This is going to be two-parter, but the part we're going to talk about in premium is going to be a little bit more detail and some examples and a very real moment where I went, oh, shit, I can't do that because it's tier three that I'll share with you guys. All right, so next. News and analysis. Goldman Central Bank demand has reset gold's price levels. All right, you saw this here, right? Bank of America, this is for founders, cash falls to the lowest level in our data history. It goes back to, I think, 2011, maybe 2015, but cash levels are so low now, meaning everyone's put their money into stocks, that there's really not much money left to go into stocks, which is one of the reasons that we would sell off. So people are deploying cash expecting the Fed to ease. It would be a kick in the ass if the Fed did not ease. Sanctions squeeze Russia on U.S. dollar payments to Shanghai Cooperative. That's an example of sanctions working. Although I don't really think it's a nasty headline and it's true, but it's not a permanent problem. So Russia owes money to the Shanghai Cooperative, which is part of the BRICS, you know, the BRICS cooperative in general. And the Shanghai Cooperative's laws say that they can only take dollars. And so Russia doesn't have any dollars, so they can't pay. And so they're going to change the rules to accommodate that. All right. Data on deck. Unemployment is today. This could be why we're bouncing. People are scoring up before the number, but everything is starting to, data is starting to creep in the hole. We're not going to ease type of stuff, but you know, who knows? And premium education of a silver speculator. We're going to touch on a lot of things there, but there's a deeper explanation of all this. And I'll just leave it with you like this. If the government doesn't want gold and silver competing with dollars as a store of value or treasuries as a store of value, it demotes it to tier three. That's why when Bernanke says it's tradition, remember when he had that conversation with Ron Paul, when he said it's tradition, he was implying that, hey, it's a reserve asset, but we're not going to give you 100% face value for it. It's a piece of art. It's a Monet. It's a Van Gogh. It's a piece of art. We'll give you 50% for it, but you know, I mean, it's really, you know, so you cook the market structure to demote gold. Okay. This is just, it's really fascinating. You tell the banks that you're not going to give them face value for it anymore. And you say, because it's not liquid, we can't trust it. And so you make it not liquid doing that. And then the day you do that, not the day, but pretend it's the day. The day you do that, you create futures. And on that same day, the IMF says, this is 1976, roughly. The IMF says, we're going to sell all of our gold because it's no longer official. And so they show you the price dropping from selling the gold. And the banks say, well, I guess we're never going back to the gold standard. And they say, and they won't give me face value for it, but they'll give me face value for Greek bonds. So shit, all right, I'll sell my gold and I'll take the cash. Or if you're a bullion bank, you hold your gold and you short futures against it so you can take the cash and you could buy a 9% bond in some other country, use it as a carry trade. This is how you demote gold. You change the perception of gold by demoting it, which demotes it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It is management of public expectations, manipulation. And so if I'm a trader, as you'll hear in the education of a silver speculator, I realized when I tried to do it the other way, I went, oh my God, I should never be long silver. And that's why I learned to be a bear once in a while. Okay. Let's look at the market before we go into the premium section. I already gave you guys a piece of it. All right, so I need to buy more black turtlenecks. Please subscribe. All right, so gold is up 9 and change. Silver is up 10 cents. All right, quick take on this. Hourly stock chart. Now, this is the sell-off yesterday, okay? This is self the day before, self yesterday. This is the self we care about, right? So the stock market, just look at it visually from a technician's point of view. It drops, it goes sideways, skating on the bottom, and now works itself higher in a thin market. All right. This is a good sign for gold. And it's not really a good sign for silver, but you'll see why in a second. Now let's look at gold. Yesterday. Bigger drop, but I don't care. It drops, and during the day, it immediately starts bouncing. It doesn't skate on the bottom. It doesn't, you know, roll off the table like it used to. It immediately starts to be bought. This is not necessarily an algorithm, but this is a buyer who's saying, okay, that's enough for today. I need to buy some. I need to buy some. And they start buying it. And now, overnight, it continues running, and now it goes sideways. So we could be in for another sell off today. Now let's go to silver. All right. Now think about gold, kind of like a lopsided V-shaped bottom. Now look at silver. Down barely, like, you know, it's a V with a broken leg, right? It's only a little bit better than stocks. People are selling silver. And when they sell it, they're less likely to buy it back. Okay. So silver is getting what I would call marked up with gold. Normally, and by this I mean before 2022, I would say this is a market that's ready to be sold again. It drops. It's used to be called the marble bounce or roll. It drops, it bounces on a table, right? And then it just rolls and just falls off. And that's what the silver chart looks like on an hourly point of view. I'm not being bearish. I mean, I can be bearish, but I'm not being bearish on this because of this. This is a market stabilizing. Unless this market gets, you know, works down here, we're done. So remember the last time? So why did the market sell off yesterday in gold and silver? Well, it sold off because of margin hikes, which they knew were coming, and they sold it ahead of time. That's why gold and silver sold off with stocks. And those margin hikes were valid, but you know, that's you're getting the hot money out. The margin hikes caused the market to drop, but usually in gold, usually pre-2022, the margin hike is the first level, and then the second level is, oh shit, we're gonna have to wait another 6 months to make money in gold. Sell it now. Tier three asset. That's the psychology of it. But now it's tier one. Now it's like, you know what? It's tier one. You know, why is it tier one now? Because governments want it. Oh, why do Western governments want it? Because the Chinese want it. Oh, well, maybe we got to stop them from buying it. Well, let's make sure the banks don't sell anymore. Let's make it tier one and let's give them cash face value for it. That's how it works. Anyway, back to this point. The point is, normally I'd say, give it a couple hours, gold's going to go lower and silver's going to go low with it. I don't think that's going to happen this time. I mean, knock on wood, right? But that's a situation. You know, the election is coming up. Will they raise margins again? You know what? I hope they raise margins 5 times in the next 5 days because I want the idiots out of this market, the tourists out of this market before the election so it can appreciate free of hot money having to sell it. Now, you know, be careful what you wish for. I know is something I have to think about, but that's it. Okay. So it's Friday. It's silver and gold. It's a shitty week. Elections next week. The market's going to be volatile, up 50, down 50, up 100, down 200. You don't know what's going to happen over the next week. So, all right. So that's the market. Stocks. Yeah, look, is that stocks or is that silver? It's the same chart. Gold's the one they're buying on the dip. That's it.
Well, thanks for watching this morning's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. We sure appreciate you tuning in and starting your day with us here. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again next week. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.